In the span of 5 years, the solar industry in North Carolina has grown from nearly non-existent to fourth largest in the nation, behind only titans of the sun, California, Arizona, and New Jersey. And the pace is accelerating, with solar capacity set to more than double in the state, at least this year. The state's powerful electric utilities are pushing changes that could blot out the industry in North Carolina. WFAE's Ben Bradford reports.
This is a solar farm in Mount Airy. Okay, it's sheep on a solar farm in Mount Airy. Across 25 acres, dark blue solar panels made of glass the thickness of a windshield catch the sun. As for the sheep,
they maintain the grass. I mean, it's a farm.
Joel Olson is managing director of solar company O2 Energies in Cornelius.
We have a local farmer that puts sheep on all the farms, and then the sheep roam, you know, free pasture, and then Whole Foods buys them. And they're the only North Carolina sheep in North Carolina Whole Foods.
Olson cut the ribbon on O2's first solar project in 2011, and this one in 2012. Today, it has 7, with another 10 under development. A combination of falling technology costs, favorable tax credits, and a sunny climate has helped North Carolina solar companies word a life. That's literally the sound of energy, collecting and converting, at the heart of an O2 solar installation. From here, it's sent into the electric grid. Duke Energy has to buy the power. A federal law, passed after the 70s oil crisis, requires it. The idea was to create space for small companies in a sector dominated by monopolies and to encourage renewable energy. But Duke Energy spokesman Randy Wheelis says there's a problem.
The way the rules are right now is that if you bring on a solar farm under 5 megawatts, we have to take that energy whether we really need it or not.
So any project under 5 megawatts, generating enough power for roughly 500 homes, gets paid what it would cost the utility to provide the energy. Over 5 megawatts, there's no set rate. The utility can negotiate price.
We'd like to lower that threshold to allow us more flexibility to negotiate contracts in hopes that we can get better price for the customers.
The State Utilities Commission is reviewing its implementation of the law, and Duke and Dominion Power want it to set a threshold 200 times lower, the minimum. O2's Olson and many solar advocates say that would have dire consequences.
It would effectively kill the industry in North Carolina.
Nearly all solar projects in North Carolina use the set rate. John Morrison of Stratus Solar says his company would prefer to build larger farms, but needs the certainty the rate provides.
It allows us to have a very predictable schedule for our projects because we don't have to introduce the uncertainty of the negotiation process.
And that negotiation process is uncertain. State numbers show that of more than 60 qualifying projects over 5 megawatts, only 3 reached an agreement. Utilities also want to cut the maximum length of contracts from 15 years to 10, which could drive away funding.
We certainly wouldn't entertain financing, and I don't think many banks would.
Peter Pequeño is the chief lending officer at Surrey Bank and Trust in Mount Airy, where he's financed 5 projects.
They would pretty much drive anybody that wants to provide any type of solar power out of business because the economics don't work. You can't recover your cost, and you can't earn a decent return on your investment.
The utilities say the longer contracts let solar companies lock into rates when energy prices are high. Duke's Randy Wheelis.
Developers will come in when the trend line looks good for them, and when the trend line starts to look not so good, they don't come in. So the risk of overpaying is kind of borne by the customers.
So Duke argues shrinking the contracts will protect ratepayers. Jim Warren of environmental group NC Warren argues the company has a larger agenda.
Solar power is cutting into profits, and Duke and a few other utilities around the country have been working very hard to stop that process.
When Duke generates power, it earns a return approved by the Utilities Commission, which includes the cost of building its plants. When private developers generate that power, the company makes no money. And the additional capacity could actually hurt future revenues by pushing out the need to build more plants. But Wheelis of Duke Energy says there's no attack.
You know, this is not Duke trying to, you know, throttle solar in North Carolina. I mean, we're very active purchasers, but we still want to make sure we craft the rules going forward correctly to meet our needs and our customers' needs.
Wheelis points out companies have applied to develop 10 times the state's current solar capacity, perhaps more energy than we need right now, and Duke would have to buy it. As for the Utilities Commission, it's not clear what it will decide. The public staff, a state body appointed to represent ratepayers, has recommended no change. Often, the commission will approve a settlement between the utilities and the staff. O2's Olson cautions the decision will impact far more than the solar industry.
All the electricity that we use today comes from an infrastructure we put in place 50 years ago or more. All of those power plants are going to have to be retired and replaced.
Whatever gets built over the next few years will power us well into the middle of the century. For WFAE News, I'm Ben Bradford in Charlotte.